Hey there, folks. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Art on the Air, my Duke Savannah special. I've got a great interview lined up this week with jeweler Danielle Hughes. And what's interesting about Danielle is not only is her work amazing, but in the over 300 plus artists that I've interviewed on Art on the Air, I realized this is the first time that I had interviewed a jeweler. And it was really fascinating to learn more about her process and her inspiration, including her being inspired by Art Deco and hood ornaments. And I thought that was a fascinating kind of component of her work. And I'm excited to share our conversation with you. Wanted to mention, as always, you can catch past episodes of Art on the Air and my corresponding Art Off the Air column right here at dosavannah.com. Last week, I spoke with weaver Katie Glusica about her work and the wave-particle duality and how those two things relate. And the week before, I spoke with James Graham. So you can find all of that, again, here at dosavannah.com. But let's get into this week's interview with jeweler Danielle Hughes. I know you're going to enjoy it. Here we go. Rob Hessler here with Art on the Air Field Notes. I am on the phone with Danielle Hughes, jewelry artist, and we're going to be talking about her process, her philosophy, and her background. So, Danielle, I've been wanting to talk to you for a while, and currently you are involved in Hospice Savannah's virtual summer night party and auction that's going on. So I thought it was the perfect time to delve into you and your work. Let's step back to what got you involved in jewelry in the first place, because you graduated with a BFA in metals and jewelry from SCAD, and you were amongst the first graduates in that program there. How did you get involved in jewelry and doing what you're doing today? What kind of spurred that on in you?
I always kind of was fascinated by the process of metalwork. I had done a jewelry class in high school, actually with a camp that I was in, but was just kind of thinking of it as a side thing. I actually came to SCAD originally for photography. The metals and jewelry department did not exist yet, of course. So I had taken just a couple of classes in metal and jewelry because it was fascinating to me. And then the more I was doing it, the more I realized I really enjoyed having a torch. I really enjoyed just sawing things, being very hands-on, having a hammer in my hand, kind of the more sort of raw process of jewelry I really was very drawn to. Even in those early days when we had to bring our own torches to class, my first couple classes, but yeah, so.
You know, it's interesting that you kind of were drawn to working with your hands, because now, correct me if I'm wrong here, now both of your parents were active crafters, right, growing up in Asheville?
Yes. I mean, my dad is still an architect in Asheville, but he has been a potter and he's a painter as well. And my mom had a huge loom in our basement growing up, and she was always weaving, and I think they just always were doing art and craft projects with us and had a real appreciation for design. Even traveling a bunch as a child with them, they would always point out a lot of design elements within buildings or the artwork of different cultures as well. So I feel like they definitely had a lot to do with the fact that I went into art at all.
Well, so that's interesting. Now, you mentioned, of course, that you're amongst, and I mentioned at the beginning of this, that you were amongst the first graduating class from SCAD in metals and jewelry. Right after you graduated from SCAD, what was it like? I mean, did you dive right into jewelry making? How different was your work back then as compared to what we see with your work nowadays?
There are some similarities, for sure. I've always been drawn to the same elements in a way, hood ornaments. I really like sort of the deco time period, a little into Art Nouveau as well. And so, remember back then at SCAD, I actually, during my SCAD days as a student, I actually made very little jewelry. I was really sort of making more sort of art pieces, anything from very experimental eyewear, very strange eyewear, or headpieces, or just odd things that were fun to make and very creative and very interesting. But then I think coming out of that, I was like, oh, wait, maybe I do want to sell some of this stuff. And it seems just a little easier, I think, at the time to try to sell jewelry and still do some of the creative, crazier stuff that may not, you know, sell. I don't think I really had an idea of how to sell things at that time at all. I'm not sure how that is right now, but I think coming out of there, it just was a lot about the art and the process and the creativity side of it. And so I felt like I did flounder a bit coming directly out of SCAD. I did art fairs and shows and had sort of pop-up events, which I still do all of the events. And I have gotten more of an appreciation, I think, than I used to have for jewelry. I think I was sort of just wanted to be more of a metalsmith back then rather than a jeweler. Because I didn't really go into it to make jewelry originally. I wasn't drawn by jewelry all the time. I was drawn by the element of the metal. And I think it took a little while to have this wearable art form of metal to kind of appeal to me a bit more than just kind of this miniature sculpture thing. And I realized it can be both.
Oh, gosh. There's several things I want to hit on based on what you just said. We're going to get back to hood.
Okay.
We're going to get back to hood ornaments because I have some questions.
Okay.
But before that, you mentioned materials, and I do want to talk about your use of materials because, you know, I've looked at a lot of your work. What goes into the choices that you make? I mean, why are you choosing a specific stone or metal or a specific, like, finish on the piece? I mean, what is your thinking process like when you're deciding all of the details of a new piece? And is there a difference, really, between when you're doing, like, a commission piece or if you're putting together work that maybe you are going to show in an art event?
Yeah, I definitely always work in silver. I like working in silver. I don't know if that's just because I'm so used to it. I work in gold. I've worked in platinum. I've worked in other metal, and I end up really just enjoying working in silver. Commission can obviously take a different turn because you're working with somebody. Some people let me just fully do whatever I want to do and just give me kind of a basic idea of what they're looking for. With a commission, some people definitely want a specific metal, specific finishes, whatever. I tend to not like things that are super polished and super shiny. I like the different textures on metal. I like having something sort of polished and kind of highlighted around areas that then have a matte finish. And I know over the years I have started doing a scratchy texture on the surface of some pieces, and then which I end up oxidizing so you can reveal all of those scratchy pieces. I feel like I'm sort of sketching on top of the metal, almost like a sketchy process with texture and line.
Mm-hmm.
That I'm kind of bringing in. I've never seen anybody do it. I don't know if somebody else does or not, but it's just something I think I have sort of stumbled upon, and I really like having something that is a little more organic as far as the way I do it. When I was originally doing work, I wanted everything to be very kind of machine-like. I would spend sometimes days on getting an exact drawing of something from several angles down to the hundredth of a millimeter, and it would have math equations on the pages and just very technical specifications for everything. And then, you know, the people that I was friends with beside me at SCAD were like, what are you doing? Are you going to start your work? So I think over the years I've tried to kind of push myself in various ways to kind of let some of the process just not be so planned and not be so stiff, and you have elements that are, but balanced with elements that aren't.
Yeah, right.
So the stones, I have done stone settings in my work always at SCAD, but I was not really into having stones in my work for a really long time unless it was a commission. I mostly did work that was just metal. I think at the time I was very opposed to somebody wanting to buy my piece because they just like going in it. I wanted them to like my design. I wanted them to see my design skills and be drawn to the design of the piece and not just, you know, I like it, it has the stone in it. I have started using more stones in my work and kind of adding them in. I like stones. They're beautiful, so I think I've tried to get over that thought process of like, okay, maybe you can have this stone in the book and have people can like and be drawn to and still, you know, really highlight some of the design elements that I also enjoy putting in there. And I've tried to, some of that newer work in the past couple years has definitely come from design elements, from hood ornaments.
Yes, I want to talk about hood ornaments because I noticed a lot of, like, you know, circles and ovals in your work, and I had, you know, done some research on you and learned that you really were into vintage cars, and, you know, you talk hood ornaments, and, like, I mean, now I see it. You know, I look at your work, and I see that. Where does that come from? And talk about that, because I think I love that component of your work, because it's like, and anybody who sees your work, it's this, like, really beautiful. I mean, you were talking about the, you know, you wanted to look at almost machine-like, and you've gotten away from that. I look at this stuff, and it doesn't look like it's made by a machine, but it is very technically sound. I mean, just from an outside viewer. So, but then, like, to me, it adds in just kind of a element of sort of fun and whimsy when I know that you are into hood ornaments and that you're into vintage cars. So, like, where does that come from?
You know what? I don't know actually when that started. I think maybe around middle school, I really started looking at deco architecture and some of the cars that were coming out of the, just, I mean, even a little bit broader time period, the 20s, the 50s. And I was always just really drawn to those metal elements. I think you can find metal elements, obviously, on buildings or in gateways or a variety of places, but it was like the real linear parts of the grille of a car from that time period and the hood ornament, some of the very just strong lines from that I just was always drawn to. I didn't put it together that I could maybe use that more in jewelry until maybe a few years ago. It was always kind of something that was simmering in the back of my head that I could take a lot of the things. I have a couple books on hood ornaments. I do own about 10, 12 hood ornaments that I have in my house.
And, also some tattoos, right?
Also some tattoos on my arm, yes. So it's something, the wings sometimes in the, as an element, or sometimes even the ones that just look really like a graphic emblem, I just have always been drawn to. So I'm staring at those things. I try not to look at the ton of jewelry or like what popular or trending or whatever. I don't really pay attention to that stuff so much. And I like having inspiration from other metal, but not other jewelers, if that makes sense, you know?
And I think this is, I want to mention this too, because a lot of the people who are listening to this interview are going to be artists. And one of the things that you do exceptionally well is you show the work that you do. It reminds me of they're releasing a new car in like the 30s, and it's on some, you know, one of those like spinning wheel things, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I know maybe I'm going, maybe this seems a little far-fetched, but there's like the new car and it's on the spinning wheel and it's got the light on it and it's got that dramatic shadow and it feels like an important object. And when the way that you capture your work, like on your Instagram, for example, it makes everything look really precious. Like it, and it has that, has that classic feel to me, like when I see the way the images are depicted. And I think that's one thing that, you know, artists is critically important to, you know, art. You spent all this time like creating something and showing it off the way that it deserves to be shown off based on the amount of effort and energy. I mean, like, it deserves that. So like, I like how it feels similar. You've got these pieces that kind of reference a time gone by and you're also showing them in a way that is consistent with the appearance there. And I thought that that's something that is really important, and I kind of urge people, if they're, you know, listening to this, to check that out, because I think that's a really important thing. I mean, do you think about that?
I obviously have to think about Instagram. I think most of us are kind of trying to think about how people are seeing you live overall, and social media has definitely become so much more of a way to show your work or your portfolio or your process or all kinds of things that you weren't able to do as much, I think, with a website, you know, 20 years ago. So I do think about it, but I always get a little worried because I don't want it just look like whatever's necessarily trending or how it's supposed to look. I don't know. You know, mm-hmm. There are certain things that, like, I always feel like everything's sort of a little homogenous within what you're supposed to do or how the lighting's supposed to be or whatever. So I do always want it to feel like it's me, and it represents me, and it represents my view of my artwork and my sense of design, and I want that to come across, so I'm glad it does.
Nice. Well, look, that leads me to, I guess, my final question here, unless I decide I have follow-ups after this, because you say something interesting, but you've described your process in the past as old school. What does that mean?
Yeah, I guess it means I sit down at a workbench, and I have a jeweler saw that I'm cutting metal with a jeweler saw, so by hand. I sand, you know, by hand a lot. I do with files or sandpaper. I do have, you know, some equipment that uses electricity. I'm not like that old school. But I know a lot is done on a computer right now. Things are done with sort of CAD programs and 3D printed and cast, and nothing wrong with that at all, and I'm fascinated by it completely, and sometimes I go back and forth between, like, wanting to know more, and maybe I should start doing some of it, because it is interesting to me, but I feel like my process is more similar to something that, you know, people would have been working this way 80 years ago, 100 years ago, or whatever, with very, very few exceptions in my studio. I don't really need or use a lot of electricity, even. It's all hand tools. So, I really enjoy the process of having a torch in my hand. I really enjoy the process of hammering and sawing and all that stuff. That I like having my hand feel like they've really worked. And even when you have little cuts and scrapes on your hand, usually if you see a jeweler's hand that's been working a lot, their hands are a little beat up. And I like looking down at my hands and having that feel that you've really worked hard on something and connected with the material. And it's still, I think, amazing to me in a lot of ways that you can take this piece of metal, whether it's a sheet of metal or whatever it comes to you as, and move it and bend it and make it this whole completely different thing.
Mm. Well said. Danielle, I want to give our listening audience an opportunity to learn more about you and your work. We've talked about your Instagram. If you could give us that information in any other way, if people are interested in learning more about you and your work.
The best way right now is my Instagram page. It is d3metal_jewelry. And I do have a website, but it is under construction right now. So it is d3metal.com, and it still exists. It's got the basic sort of stuff on there, the bio and everything, and I'm getting ready to redo it and add a shopping page and everything to it, so that should be up and running, but if anybody follows my Instagram, that will definitely be announced when that's all happening.
Very cool. Well, you can also see Danielle's work in Hospice Savannah's first ever virtual summer night party and auction, although you got to catch it pretty much right now. That is happening basically just as this interview is broadcasting. And then Danielle's work is also going to be featured at Kobo Gallery at 33 Barnard Street. And that's basically going on right now, too. So, Danielle Hughes, thank you so much for spending some time talking about your work and your process here today for Art on the Air.
Thank you, Rob. It was my pleasure.
That's all the time we have for this week's episode of Art on the Air with your host, Rob Hessler. Listen every Wednesday for our live show, broadcasting from 3 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time on 107.5 FM, Savannah Soundings, and worldwide at WRUU.org. And you can catch past episodes on the WRUU station archives on our website, as well as on iTunes, Spotify, and Stitcher. We'll talk to you next week, where we'll have another batch of Art on the Air.